Prayer.
There are five prayers on a daily basis.
Proof.
But alhamdulillah, Islam has offered us all the proofs.
Knowledge.
It's no good doing taqleed of someone who you've seen on television or heard on the media purely because they're famous.
Thing around me, proudly I would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask her, why does she dress that way? All covered up in a world that gives it all away. Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Islamic Laws, which for this holy month of Ramadan is dedicated to the Islamic rulings concerning this holy month. Please stay with us.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan.
Welcome back, dear listeners of Islamic Laws. In today's program, we cover some rules of fasting according to the verdicts of Ayatollah Khamenei. Also, in the section From Ritual to Spiritual, we try to explain how, in addition to acting upon the Islamic laws, we can go beyond and tread on the path of spiritual journey. Now let's listen to a part of Ayatollah Khamenei's biography.
On the 16th of July, 1939, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was born in the holy city of Mashhad, in the province of Khorasan. Sayyid Ali was the second son of Sayyid Jawad Khamenei, a humble and poor Islamic scholar who taught all members of his family how to lead a simple and humble way of life. At the age of four, Sayyid Ali and his older brother, Muhammad, were sent to Maktab, the traditional primary schools of that time, in order to learn the alphabet and the Holy Quran. Later, he was transferred to a newly established Islamic school to continue his learning. After this primary schooling, Sayyid Ali pursued his studies at the Theological Seminary in Mashhad. He studied all the intermediate level curriculum, including logic, philosophy, and Islamic jurisprudence, in the exceptionally short time of 5 years. He then started his advanced level studies called Dars-e-Kharij with such eminent scholars and instructors as Grand Ayatollah Milani.
Sometimes after Sahri, the taste and smell of food or even toothpaste still remain in the mouth for a while. If after rinsing my mouth with water, the taste and smell still stay, what is my duty? Answer. If no particles of food remain, there is no problem. Question. Does moistening the lips with the tongue break the fast? Answer. No. Question. If a fasting person eats something forgetfully while fasting, is it compulsory to remind him of his fast? Answer. No. Issue. If whilst gargling some water is swallowed, the fast becomes void. Issue. Swallowing saliva does not break the fast, regardless of the quantity. However, if phlegm reaches the mouth cavity, it must not be swallowed, as this will break the fast according to obligatory precaution. Question. Can a person gargle his mouth with the intention of easing his thirst? answer. If he ensures that no water is swallowed, there is no problem. Question: is chewing gum allowed whilst fasting? Answer: if the flavor or particle of the chewing gum is swallowed, the fast breaks. However, if this does not occur, there is no problem. This, however, is not a recommended action for a fasting person. Issue: brushing one's teeth whilst fasting is permissible on the condition that water is prevented from being swallowed and the mouth is rinsed properly. Question: what is the ruling concerning applying lipstick and lip balm whilst fasting? Answer: if it does not enter the mouth, if it is not swallowed, there is no problem. Question: does using eye drops while fasting break the fast? Answer: no. Issue: if a person breaks a fast of the month of Ramadan for any reason, it is compulsory for him to abstain from eating and drinking until Maghrib.
So what breaks a fast? Immersing the head under water. If a person dives into the water, or even just immerses his or her head into the water intentionally, their fast is void. Some have said it is makruh, and as a measure of precaution should be avoided. Taking a shower does not break a fast. Intimacy and masturbation will also make the fast void. Liquid enema used for relief from constipation, relief from gas and bloating and etc. will invalidate the fast. Remaining in a state of janaba or haid. If a person enters a state of janaba during the night, they must make sure to perform ghusl before fajr. If they fail to do so intentionally, their fast is void, similar to when a woman is in haid and menstruation. If we miss a wajib fast for any reason, there could be three outcomes. When we have to compensate a missed fast, it is called qada. Here are some cases where qada fast has to be done. If a person breaks their wajib fast due to illness and then recovers his or her health, or if a person misses a wajib fast because of traveling. We will talk more about traveling rules in future lessons. So for example, if you missed one day due to illness or traveling, then you redo one day as qada.
From Ritual to Spiritual by Sheikh Salim Bimji.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allah is also combining both the spiritual aspect of fasting, the taqwa, and also the ritual that, you know what, if you're sick, there's rulings to follow. If you are on a journey and you can't fast, there's rules to follow. If you're pregnant, you can't fast, there are rules to follow. If you're breastfeeding, you can't fast, there are rules to follow. So Allah says, and those who are not able to fast, they may affect a redemption, the fidya, by feeding a poor person. So again, Allah combines this aspect of not being able to fast and what you have to do to make up with that. So again, the philosophy and the fiqh, the jurisprudence, is also there within the verses of Allah. And so we see that Allah brings up the same understanding that Ramadan and the fasting is not only about keeping away from certain things for a spiritual benefit, which obviously is what all of us should be aiming to achieve, is a spiritual outcome of the month of Ramadan, but also that there are rules to follow, that this entire month is governed by rulings and things that we have to actually learn and that we have to implement within this month of Ramadan. Now, obviously, when we look at what fasting is, we have the definition given by our Maraja. Allah gives a general understanding in the Quran, but the ruling from Ayatollah Sistani in ruling number 1529, and I've abbreviated this a bit and added a bit more context into it. that basically fasting is that a person abstains from 8 specific things, which we'll look at shortly, from a short period before the time of the Subuh prayers, and must also refrain from doing anything which invalidates the fast for a short period after the time of Maghrib, in obedience to the commands of Allah and to seek His pleasure. Next thing that I want to look at is the niyat, the intention. And we talked about the intention a few months ago in detail. We had a two-lecture discussion. But Ramadan is a unique situation. For a lot of our acts of worship, I don't have to verbally make an intention. So for example, at Maghrib time here, at 10 o'clock, let's say, if I'm standing on the prayer mat facing Qibla, that is my intention right then and there, being on the mat, you know, on the prayer mat at the time of prayers. But for Hajj, we're recommended to make a verbal intention to verbally declare every stage of the Hajj. And as you see in Sayyid Sistani's ruling, even for a month of Ramadan, it's important to make the intention and make it known to you, even out loud. And so he says that a person can make the intention every night of the month of Ramadan that you'd be fasting the next day. Or he says it is better to make the niyat on the first night that you're going to fast the entire month. So rather than waiting on, you know, Tuesday at 3 in the morning, and you wake up and say, I'm going to fast tomorrow, Wednesday, month of Ramadan, for the next day, and then Wednesday you make the fast, and then, you know, on Thursday you make the niyat for that day, and Friday you make the niyat, and so on and so forth, is that at the beginning of the month, once the email is sent out, confirmation has come, the moon has been seen, next day is the first day, we should all make that intention then and there, that we're going to fast the next 30 days, obviously all other exceptions, you know, are out of that norm. But make the niyat that very first night, rather than having to redo an intention every single day. Because if you forget the intention, there is a possibility that the fast will not be accepted. And this is a unique aspect that in Ramadan, just as, not like other times. You know, in other times of the year, if I make the intention to sin, and if I don't sin, there's no sin on me. But in month of Ramadan, just to give you one example, if in the month of Ramadan, I say to myself, man, I'm hungry, I'm going to go to the kitchen right now and make myself a burger, and I don't do it, but I make the intention to go and break my fast, our fast is automatically broken, just by intending to go and eat something. I haven't put the food in my mouth, but making the intention to eat in the month of Ramadan invalidates your fast. So we see that Ramadan has a unique change in the rules, that even your intention can actually invalidate a fast, and your intention can also confirm a fast. So again, this is something that we should do on the very first night, is make the niyat that we're going to begin that fast from that period for the next, you know, 30 days or 29, whatever we have in the month of Ramadan.
Now let's listen to another part of Ayatollah Khamenei's biography.
Diligently and enthusiastically, Ayatollah Khamenei followed his advanced studies in Qom from 1958 to 1964 and benefited from the teachings of great scholars and grand Ayatollahs such as Ayatollah Brujerdi, Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah Ha'iri Yazdi, and Allama Tabatabai. He received the bad news that his father had lost his sight in one eye and was not able to read properly. This prompted him to return to Mashhad and, while being at the service of his father, seek further knowledge from him, from Ayatollah Milani and other important scholars residing in Mashhad. The young Sayyid Ali, who had now become a mujtahid by having completed his advanced level studies, began to teach various religious subjects to younger seminary and university students. Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding Islamic laws, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Please mention the religious authority that you follow. Also, visit our website,
at parstoday.com. We hope and pray that Allah accepts all your religious deeds in this holy month of Ramadan. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.